Morning, family. How are you doing today?
Morning.
We have a beautiful day. We have a lot of rain this week. I'm grateful for that rain. Take away the pollen and help us breathe a little better and help my plants, and that get me excited that everything is growing back. How many times have you seen a little child giving a tantrum? You see it every day? Okay, good for you. I don't have that blessing, but some of you who still had small kids, and you know what I'm talking about, right? You go to the store, and your child wants something, and you realize that maybe you don't have the money to buy it right away, and then if you don't buy it, what happens? So the kids get angry, right? Some of the little kids, they will start getting red. And they will start screaming and kicking, and some go to the floor, and it will make a big spectacle there. And how that made you feel as a parent? How comfortable you are when one of your kids is doing that? You feel really, really uncomfortable, right? I remember when mine were small, and that I started looking at them, right? Like if you have superpowers with your eyes, like kind of like disintegrating that little creature that is making you look really, really bad in there. You get angry too. But have you noticed that, sadly, some of the things that our kids do is what you used to do when you used to have that age? That our kids somehow take from you the bad traits of character? Have you noticed that? I had a tendency to be very sarcastic. And my wife knows that, and she makes fun of me. And even when I'm doing a compliment, she thinks I'm being sarcastic. And say, no, I'm being sincere. I'm being honest. I just want to say something positive. But my son had the same issue. So in occasions, we start talking, and he says something, and I reply back, and he come back to me, and it's back and forward. And Denise noticed that, right? And we are talking like that. And eventually, he get annoying and angry. And I noticed that he's getting angry with me when he starts correcting my enunciation. You mispronounce that word, Dad. That's not the way that you should say it. This is the proper way to say it. And he does it in a perfect English, you know. So, little kid, you think that you are better than me? I believe you get a small victory. But our kids are like that. They grab from us our bad traits of character. And until a certain degree, it's normal to expect a little one to behave that way. Why? Well, the psychologists say that every human being passes through different stages in life. And these stages are called developmental stages. And these stages will help you to grow and be mature and to change, right? And your job as parent or uncle of somebody who knows this baby or this kid is to help them, so they can improve in these qualities, the good ones, and to learn how to control the bad ones so they can behave and function in society. Because it's really sad when you see an adult behaving like a three-year-old, right? It shouldn't happen, but it happens. And when that happens, it is quite embarrassing. This week, a lady parked her car in a restaurant. And I guess the people from the restaurant noticed that she wasn't eating there, a customer or something. And they called the city, and they sent a towing car. So they pull her car and take it to the place where they normally store your car when you don't want to pay parking, right? So when she find out that her car was towed, she go to that company and start belittling the lady who was at the place, insulting her. You know, you are a trailer trash. You are a nobody. You don't have education. I work in TV, and I made so much money. And I don't know, some of the guys, you notice? And I don't know if she noticed, but they have something that is called cameras today. And these devices record what we say. And because she was claiming to be a celebrity, they start searching, and somebody posts the video online. And when that video goes online, you know, what happened today, right? Everything that you put online, oh, man, mercy. You know, everybody will find out what are you doing and why are you saying these things. Well, the last that I hear from the story is that this lady from SPN has been suspended for 1 week. And everybody is kind of like appalled in the way that she was behaving and how she was mistreating this person. Now, then later, when she find out that the whole thing was coming out and the big scandal, she apologized and, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to say these things. But this is a simple example of something that an adult will do that we shouldn't do, right? And we all make mistakes like that, right? Maybe you are tired, maybe you are hungry, or maybe something bothers you, and you go to the store and somebody make a comment or mistreat you, and then you react over proportionate to the person there, and that can be reflectively bad in your character and reputation, especially if they are recording what you're saying and the things that you're doing. So be careful with that. So the lesson today, or the study today, had to do when how to deal when members who are new in the faith that come to the church. Romans 14 describe right there in the Bible. Let's go to Romans and start reading what the Bible said about that. Romans 14 is a very interesting chapter here. And Paul has mentioned something here about new believers. This is what Denise was reading for our scripture today. Romans 14, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things, but who once believed he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. You know, and if you stop there, like Denise did, you will think, is this person attacking vegetarians now? You know, like, what is wrong with Paul? But you need to continue reading. Let no him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let no him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God who has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or fails. Indeed, he will make to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So what Paul has mentioned here in Romans 14, and you find this discussion also in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10, is about people that is new in the faith, that is coming to the church, and because they are new in the faith, they have some issues. They are weak in some aspects of their faith. Their faith is not completely mature, is not completely developed, and some things that you do or you say or you will mention can offend them, to the point that they will stumble in their growing in Christ. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 18, in reference to little children, you remember that the context of the conversation there in Matthew 18, he was trying to bless some kids, and the disciples were opposing to that because they were thinking, well, the master is more important than to talking to these little ones here. But Jesus is explaining then they are important too. And whoever made one of these little ones stumble or make him fall out of the grace, it will be better to put a big rock and throw himself in the sea. You remember that? So in some aspects, Jesus is saying, you need to be careful in how you treat the little ones. Because because you or me, we do something that affect their faith, that makes us liable for their salvation. And so we need to be careful in that. So certain things we don't tolerate at church. What things we don't tolerate at church? Mistreatment of little kids, right? Any kind of abuse, it can't be tolerated, because that will be the end of the church. The same thing when elderly members, right? Because when a person is getting elderly, people have the tendency to try to take advantage of them, right? And you have family members who think that you have like a huge bank account, and they start calling you, Grandma, Grandpa, or Aunt, I need a big favor, I need money. Be careful, right? Because people will do that, trying to take advantage of you. So we need to protect these members that in certain way are vulnerable to exploitation or to abuse. So Jesus said, under these circumstances, no abuse can be tolerated. However, you find in John 6 that Jesus was speaking to a big multitude there, And he is speaking about the bread who came from heaven. Do you remember that? And he is telling the people, my body is bread and my blood is the wine. Do you remember that? And what was their reaction? They get offended. They get insulted. Because this man now is speaking that we should eat his body and drink his blood. That will make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense to you. Was Jesus speaking in a literal way there in John 6? What was Jesus trying to say? Well, in order to understand this, you need to move forward in your mind to the Last Supper, to the Last Communion, when he is taking a piece of bread and breaking it and saying, listen, the way that I break this piece of bread is this, in the same way my body will be broken. And this cup represents my blood that it will be shed in a cross for everyone who believes in me. Right? So Jesus was speaking in a symbolic way of redemption, salvation of the human beings from sin. However, in John 6, he doesn't explain this really well. And some people get offended to the point that the majority of the disciples abandoned him that day. You remember that? So what Jesus did when he noticed that the people was leaving him? He said, oh, hold on, guys. I didn't mind to offend you. You know, don't worry about this. This is not important. Let me change it and let's move on. Stay with me. That's what he did? No, he let them go. Why? That's bad business for a church, right? If you are a pastor in a church today, you will want the members to remain in the church because without members, you don't have what? No church, right? And that's why some pastors are concerned with having big churches because more members, it means more what? More salary for some of them, right? I won't enter into that conversation since I am a pastor, right? But I feel like we need to be careful in how to balance and how to deal with the weak member. When we should stand for something that it really matters and when we should let it go. That's the problem right there. Right? Certain things are worth it to fight for and other things are not worth it. Right? I remember in a church many years ago that we get under the process of renovations and paintings. And we have a big fight because the color of the carpet. People was offended and some people get really, really irritated because the color of the carpet that they pick was inappropriate. Let's say that we want to change this carpet today. What color do you think is the best color that we should select? Tell me. Well, some of you will say, let's go with green. Green is a beautiful color. I like green. You know, light green, kind of like grass. You know, nice. How many of you like green? About two or three guys. You see? It's not that bad. But maybe you will think, no, Pastor, what is wrong with you? This is not a golf course. You know, we want it red. Or we want beige. Or we want a neutral color, something that goes with everything. Well, that's the kind of discussion that I'm trying to explain to you that you will have in every single church. In Romans 14:1 say, it is impossible to avoid discussions because it's always difference of opinion. You can be in a church for 40 years and you still have different opinions than other person here. That doesn't mean that you are a bad person or a better person. It's just different opinions and simple little things. In the 1800s, the first Seventh-day Adventist churches, when they were organizing for Seventh-day Adventist people, we believe in the spirit of prophecy. We believe in prophets. And at the time, you remember, Ellen White was alive. And Ellen White, for the ones who doesn't know, it was a prophet. She passed away a long time ago. And when Ellen White was alive, many of the members, for every single discussion that they have at church, they go and ask, let's go ask the prophet. Because maybe the prophet who had a good connection with God, she knows what to answer. Right? So historians in the church had collected some of the discussions. For instance, in one occasion, people were fighting for the length of the towel that is used in communion service. Can you imagine that? The length of the towel. So some people were saying, no, it should be this length. Another would say, no, it's too much. It should be only this. And they argue so much for that, that they go and ask Sister White, what God would think about that? And what do you think was the answer? Do you think God cared about towels? You see, we can go to extremes with questions. I've been in churches where people fight about cheese. Can you believe that? You know, as a Seventh-day Adventist, we believe that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and we should take care of our body. And for that reason, we encourage every member to don't eat meat. But if you decide to eat meat, you should select from some meats that the Bible mentioned they are cleaner, right? Is everybody in agreement in that part right there? Yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. We shouldn't eat meat, but if you want to eat meat, at least eat from these kind of meats that they are cleaner, right? However, some people go a little extra, go beyond that in conversations about food. And I remember at church that they were arguing because some people were bringing to the potluck food who had real cheese. And some people were offended. How is that possible that we are bringing cheese to the church? Cheese is really bad for you. Well, that's true, and maybe it's a fad for yourself, but you are arguing here for something that is not really that important. However, what is the problem? For the person who considers cheese really bad, for that person, it is important. You see? So churches can be divided for many little details, and the enemy kind of like take advantage of these things. And this is what Paul is presenting here in Romans. People that go to church and they start arguing for details that in reality they don't matter. What is important for discussion? Very good. Salvation is the most important issue for us. Do the Bible is clear about salvation? How we obtain salvation? How we accept grace? And how we believe in Jesus Christ and the cross and all these details? That's important. But if the subject that you are discussing, it had nothing to do with salvation, you should notice right there, this is a secondary what? Issue. Right? This is an issue that maybe is important to me, but maybe it's not important for everybody. Now, do you think it's fair for the whole church that we should stop all the plans of the church because one member here get offended? Should the church stop everything what they are doing and move carefully because we don't want to offend the most dysfunctional member of the church? We shouldn't, right? But it happens. That's what we do. We love everybody. We don't want to lose anyone. And so because we care so much for you, we don't want to offend you. And sadly, the people that is the most susceptible to these offenses are the ones who are more vocal, and they are the ones who scream the most, and the ones who let you know faster that they are in disagreement with you. Right? So you need to be careful how I can handle this. In fact, when I was thinking about this sermon, I was thinking I need to be really, really careful. I don't want to offend anyone here today. Because I can say something that maybe is inappropriate for you. You know, like President Lincoln used to say, I love that phrase, it's when malice toward none. Remember that? In his speech in Gettysburg? With malice toward none. I'm trying to do this without malice, without intent to harm you. I'm just trying to bring this issue because I think it's important that we should talk about and think about these issues. Now, in Paul's time, people used to argue about meat, about food. Interesting, right? The members who were from the Jewish context, They were clear in certain meats that they didn't eat. They won't eat pork, they won't eat donkey and horse and other cats and dogs. For them, that was no food, right? But if you come from a place where whatever flies or walks you can eat, then you will eat it. You have these two different groups or three or more different cultures merging all in the Christian church. And now Paul is trying to keep this big group that is different in many ways together because we have a goal. Our goal is to preach about the resurrection and salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? So in Paul's time, the majority of the comers And majority of the temples were located in the town square. Have you seen these old towns that when you get there in the middle of the town is the church right there, or several churches and the police station and the most important store? Have you noticed that? Well, in Colombia, in South America, where I came from, every single town that you visit is like that. Seriously, it's like you visit one and you have visited all the towns in Colombia. The little square town there, you know, the few pews and the trees. And then you had the church, the Catholic church, of course, because that's the most important church in the country. You had the police station. And the most important stores are always around that square. That was the saying in Roman time. Have you guys eaten a Chinese restaurant lately? Or a Hindu restaurant? Have you been? When you enter into a Chinese restaurant, what you notice? Tell me. Think about that. What they have in Chinese restaurants? Well, some of the Chinese restaurants have a statue of whom? Of Buddha, right? This is a belly, chubby, happy fellow sitting in there. How do you ask yourself why they have a statue of Buddha in there? For Chinese people, they are very concerned with luck. They have a lot of things connected in their religion with luck. And having these images, it is good luck for them. It means good business for them. Some of them put candles and some of them put flowers around this Buddha statue because they think if they worship this idol here, they will have better business. The Hindus, they do that too. In fact, if you go to a Hindu restaurant, it is highly probable that the meal that you are eating has been offered to one of their goddesses before you eat it. That affects you? I can care less, you know. Yeah. They can offer it to whoever, Shiva or the goddess that they believe. To me, it's nothing. Because I know they are just idols. They are false gods, right? Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe in Buddha, so I can care less for Buddha. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. Maybe you do believe in Buddha. But you see, if you came from a family who used to worship Buddha or who used to worship one of these idols, then you will be affected. Because this idol will bring memories to you. And to you, eating the food that was dedicated to this idol here represents idolatry. Because that's your bad ground. You get it now? So what is the problem? Is the problem with the food? Is the problem with the teachings of the church? No. The problem is with the person's conscience, right? Let's go there. Let's go to Romans 14:14. And let's read that because that's our first point today. First point, Pastor, it's almost 12. You know, like, don't worry. I will move faster. And I know and I'm convicted by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, be careful with this sentence because a lot of Christians think, well, Paul is saying here that nothing is unclean, so you can eat everything. Keep in mind that for them, certain items were not considered food. When they are speaking of food, they are speaking things that you should eat, right? Dogs, for them, were not food. They are no food for me. I don't eat dogs. You know, maybe if you want to try dog, that's good for you, you know. But in the Bible, that doesn't mention dog as a food, right? I just want you to be clear in that. So that's not an excuse to eat whatever you want. It's to eat clean food, food that they consider appropriate for your body. And Paul is saying, everything is clean. There's nothing unclean, right? Let's continue reading in verse 14. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So the problem here is that the person have an issue of conscience. If you used to be a drinker in the past, a heavy drinker, the last place that you want to be is surrounded by people that is drinking because it bothers you. It brings you bad memories, right? You don't want to be, you have maybe friends who drink, but you don't want to be in that environment. That kind of like bothers you. If you used to be a smoker, anyone here who used to smoke in the past? Think about this. Once you stop smoking, then you don't want to be around people who smoke, right? Why? Because they bother you. you know, maybe you're still having some temptation and kind of like bring you bad memories there. So you want to avoid these things because in some way affect your conscience, right? So what is Paul saying here? Number one, if the person considers that this is bad, this is unclean, that this is impure, well, we should be careful and accommodate ourselves to help this brother that is growing in Christ, that doesn't have a very strong faith yet, until the point that he becomes a full developed Christian and he will be able to overcome this issue. Now, I want to say this with a lot of respect, but the older that you get, in the majority of the cases, it should be like this, the wiser we get, right? Why? Why you become wiser when you get older? Because you had more experience, you had more knowledge, you have seen more things. Your vision is wider. You can see things in a better way than other people. You already passed through that. And you can give advice. The problem is that when somebody wants to give you advice and you're a younger person, you think that his advice or her advice is inappropriate to you. Oh, that wasn't your time. Now, in my time, it is different, right? And what you're trying to express is, no, it's the same thing. It is the same thing in the Christian life. The longer you walk with Christ, the more mature you will be. The more understanding, the more compassionate, the more loving, the more supportive of other people you will be. Because you know there are struggles. You already passed through that. And somebody will say, well, brother so-and-so used to be very strong, but now he has become more softer. You know, become wicked because he's getting old. No, it's because he's becoming wiser. And now he realized that the things that he used to find in the past, they are not really relevant. You finally get it. Not always, but, you know, some of the things. But that takes time to develop. The American Indians, Native Americans, they used to have an old saying in reference to the little kids. When you are, you saw the baby walking today? He's just learning to walk. And chances are that this baby will have some accidents. You okay? If she's listening to me, pay attention. This is a very dangerous stage when they are walking. They will fall, they will get some bumps, and they will get hurt. But it is expected that that will happen at that age, right? And you will walk and learn, and you are developing your body. How are the feet of the newborn baby? How they look? How you guys remember that, seeing that? Well, when you see the feet of the new baby, they are very chubby, right? The skin is very soft, right? Very tender. They are beautiful. You know, you get amazed how God made all these things perfect, right? I like to see babies' feet. You know, and they, when they grow up, become like 14 size, like that. How that happened? Anyway, but when they are baby, they are very tender, they are very soft. And you need to understand that at that age, you cannot expect this baby to walk 20 miles. Because the feet won't allow that to happen. So for the Native Americans, they get it. You know, they call this the tender foot. You know, you need to be careful with the baby. So when the Bible is speaking of a weak brother, think about in something that is tender. Something that is soft, that haven't been developed yet. You know, after you start walking, you start developing a thicker skin, more calluses, and you will be able to withstand more heat and more pressure and more weight, and you will be stronger, right? It's in the same way in the Christian life. When you start walking with Christ, you are a baby, and it's expected from you that you will make mistakes, and it's expected from you that you will do these things, and you will get discouraged. But it's expected also from the older members, from the adult members, from the mature members, that they will encourage you. And that they will help you out. And if they notice that for you, the food is a struggle, that they will make some accommodations to help you grow. Not because you are right, but because they want to help you. Because they love you, right? And that's the truth. We don't make accommodations to a particular member because we think that the person is right. We are making accommodations because we want this person to continue growing in Christ. Amen? And we love them and we want them to, you know, get developed. You don't want anyone to get discouraged. But let me give you an example in how I feel about this issue. Have anyone here have an organ being removed from your body? Has anyone here lost a toe or finger? Let's say that the doctor say, we have bad news, we need to remove an organ from your body. What organ you will be willing to give up easily? I was thinking in that one too. The appendix, you know, like, who cares for the appendix? It's inside and nobody knows for what is the purpose of that thing. So if I had to get rid of something, that's one of the one I will give up. Well, not willingly, but at least it's without much pain. What about a hand? You will be willing to give a hand. Let's say that the doctor say, Brian, we discovered that in your hand you had gangrene. And you know what is gangrene, right? It's a disease that will spread through your body and it will kill you eventually unless they remove that organ from you. I'm pretty sure that you will consider that seriously. I don't think that you will think lightly, I want to cut my hand. And you will give it, you know, because that's how you play piano and how many things do you do with your hands. We don't want to do that, right? It's a very, think about a finger. You know, you don't want to lose a finger. I don't want to lose anything. Not even my hair, you know, like. I know I can live without hair, but I don't want to lose my hair. Because we get close to our organs. We love, it's the same thing with the church. We love everybody. Everybody is important. Paul say, even the weak members we protect and cover because we know that they have a function at church. We don't want to lose anything. However, when the body gets sick because an organ is dysfunctional to the point that it is threatening the life of the whole body, you need to make a decision that is very painful and that the whole body will remember forever. That is to cut one of these organs in order to survive. I've been in churches where members have been disfellowshipped for many reasons, and that's a very traumatic and painful experience. It's something that we don't want to get through, but in occasions we have to. Last year, we got a visitor here. You remember? And some of you were telling me, Pastor, we should give this person a second opportunity because maybe with our testimony, this person will change. Remember that? What was the problem with this visitor? The problem with this visitor is that he was quite critical of everything that we do. How we sin, how we eat, how we talk, everything. Everything was bad. To the point that I finally had to talk to this person. I said, listen, I think you need to find another place to worship. Because you are disrupting the body of believers here. You are creating a problem for us. And we are affecting you. To the point that you get your spirituality affected. Well, he get offended and he changed his shoes in front of me. You know, according to the biblical tradition. And he walked away. You know, I didn't know that he will react that way. But I had to do it because that's my job as a pastor, protecting the body of Christ. And it's not easy to deal in occasions when certain circumstances that happen at church. So the problem in occasions can be when the person itself, their conscience, get affected for something, and that's why we need to accommodate this person. The second reason for why people behave that way, especially the weak members, is because since they are developing and growing, the church wants to accommodate them in order to keep them inside the church. We don't want to lose anyone. But that's a risky business, let me tell you. Because some people had mental issues. Have you met someone like that they like to oppose everything that you do just for the sake of opposing you? Not because they have a valid reason, but they are like antagonists. That's the word that I was thinking. By nature, they are antagonists. They like to fight with everybody. They even fight with themselves, you know. I even do that in occasions too. I fight with myself, you know. Doesn't look good, but anyway. Going back. So these people that they are antagonists, they come to church and we think, well, with the power of Christ and the love of Christ, maybe this person can make a transition from this behavior to be a better, more balanced human being. In occasions it happens if you allow God to work in your heart. But in occasions, it doesn't happen. So you have now a very dysfunctional person in the middle of the congregation that is affecting everybody. And everybody doesn't know how to react here because we don't want to offend him. And what we do as a human being is that we start moving away from what? From this person, right? And instead of going and talking to the person, we start talking among ourselves like, oh, look at this guy. We shouldn't do that. We need to go and talk to the person and confront the issue. That's the Christian way. That's according to Matthew 18, right? Go talk to him first. He doesn't change, bring someone else to try to help him change. If nothing changed, then just bring it to the whole church. So at least everybody knows what's going on. And everybody's aware of the situations. I mentioned some things we can accommodate, other things we cannot accommodate. If you got an issue with sexual abuse with minors, you will understand that we will watch you very carefully and we won't place you near children. Not because we don't trust that the Lord can change you, it's because we can trust you with children. This is a simple fact, right? Finally, why they continue behaving this way? Because as a church, we expect them to become stronger. So are we Christians expect to become stronger? What evidence we have in the Bible? Let's go read some texts. Please open your Bible in Colossians 1:10. This is in reference to knowledge. So should people in church grow in knowledge? What do you think? Yes, we need to grow in knowledge, study more and learn more, and that way we can help others. Colossians 1:10, this is what my Bible says here. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's what Paul is expecting of every believer, right? We should increase in knowledge. How do you increase in knowledge? Well, when you study the Bible, when you read the Bible, you are learning, you know, and you are expected, and I am expected to remember these things, you know, to put it in your mind. We also are expected to become more mature. Let's go read in Ephesians 4:15. And this is what the Bible says in reference to all believers. But speaking of the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. So the believer is expected to develop, they continue growing, not only in knowledge, but also in faith and relationship with other parts of the body or the church. What else we should do as a member of the church? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Because this one is important that we should continue growing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, and this is what the Bible says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, that is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. So we are expected to grow also in faith and what else? And love, right? How you grow your faith? How is your faith getting stronger? Well, the more you know God and the more God answers your prayers and you know how He reacts and how He behaves, we are expected to remember these things and become stronger in faith. Right? When you are a new member, you will have a faith that is a little weak, but when you have the experience of walking with Christ, then your faith should be stronger. And that's part of the normal process of a human being inside the church growing. Do churches should stop every program because we have a person who opposed the program? What do you think? As a Seventh-day Adventist church, we have a set of rules in our church, right? Where do you find these rules? In the church manual. Is the church manual inspired divine by God? No. It's a book created by human beings. When the only purpose is to help us operate as a church and get in unity, right? So we had consistency from church to church and no huge difference in belief or practice or theology. So we get united as a body of Christ. However, everyone here had different opinions and different issues. right? Can we agree in everything? No, we already know that. Can we move forward as a body of Christ? Yes. Even when our difference, right? Even when one of the members is not that strong, the rest of the body can help this person to continue walking with Christ. Amen? Every year, when Christmas time finally arrives, you notice that some people here put decorations for Christmas. You know, some of you don't do, others do. It's an illustration, simply, that I want to present to you. I remember in the past trying to fix the Christmas lights. You remember what happened? What happened when one of the lights go bad? The whole go out, right? And you become crazy trying to find out what is the one who is bad. You know, start replacing every single one. And if you have like 100 of these, then you have to go every one until you finally get the right that is bad. And they change it and the whole thing comes to life, right? The reason that I mention this is because churches shouldn't operate the same way. If one member goes bad, they shouldn't stop the whole church to continue bringing light, right? What we should do as a church, if somebody goes bad, is trying to do our part and cover this weak member and moving forward. It shouldn't be an excuse for us to stop. Finally, dear church, let's go to Matthew 25, because I want to read something to you really quick here. Matthew 25, as you remember, is in connection with the second coming of Christ. And this is the part when Jesus is talking to the disciples and explaining then why some of them will be surprised when Jesus comes back for the second time. Let's go to the verse 34 to 40. Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40. Let's go read in there. This is what the Bible says. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. And I was naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when we did see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty, and give you a drink? When we did see you a stranger, and take you, and naked, and clothe you? Or when we did see you sick, or in prison, and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "As surely I say to you, as much as you did to one of these least of my brethren, you did to me." So that's the answer that I want you to remember. That when we finally encounter our Judge, our Father in heaven, it's our love and consideration for each other that will really make a difference. Because we are dealing with the body of Christ here, right? And everyone is still being valued and loved for God. Amen? And in the same way, we want to continue to grow and being stronger and helping others. And when you overcome temptation, when you overcome problems in your life, now you have a point of reference that you can give someone that is weaker. And you can give this person a hand and, you know, encourage this person to continue moving forward closer to Christ. Amen? Amen. So may the Lord continue blessing you today.